Also invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville. We meet every Sunday morning. Singing begins at 10:30, preaching at 11 o'clock. The directions to the church are that you take 41, after you turn off of 29 North, you proceed 1 mile, and you'll come to Afton Road, take your right on Afton Road, and the meeting house is located on the left about a quarter of a mile. Again, you'll take Piney Forest Road North or 29 Business North, and you'll turn left at the red light there by McDonald's. To your left on 41 Franklin Turnpike, come 1 mile, take your right on Afton Road, and the church is easily found. Also, if you would like to contribute to this program, we'll give you that opportunity. We would love for you to send it to this address, 295 Sweden Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. And if you'd like to talk to me about the things that I preach on this program, just call me at 434-836-6036. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Most holy God, our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pause to give thee thanks. Thank thee for thy mercy, thy grace, and thy love in our life. Thank thee, Lord Jesus, for the blessing to represent thee and to preach the gospel by this means, and may it have free course, and may it find a lodging place in the minds and the hearts of thy people, and may they be converted to the truth and see the wonderful gospel of grace that is contained in thy word. Lord Jesus, we say everything that we say to thy name's honor and glory. For it's in thy name we do pray. Amen. I want to begin in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, this evening. And you follow along with us in your Bible. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, I'll start reading with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." As the Lord Jesus Christ visited this region, Caesarea of Philippi, he asked this question to his disciples: "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, there were four different answers that the disciples said that this is what men say. First of all, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Well, public opinion wrong. Some say that thou art Elias. Again wrong. Some say that thou art Jeremias. Again wrong. Or one of the prophets. Wrong again. But he asked the disciples, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, being the spokesman for the disciples, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now the Apostle Peter made a confession unto Jesus Christ, and he says, "We know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter knew this not by the revelation of flesh and blood, but the Lord Jesus Christ told him distinctly and plainly that Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter knew who Jesus was, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, for the Father had revealed it unto him. Therefore, this is how that he could make the confession that thou art the Christ, because he believed in his heart that this was the Son of the living God, this was the true Messiah. And the Lord Jesus says, I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ making the statement that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, the gates of hell will fight against the church. He didn't say that the gates of hell would not assail the church, but he said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. He says, upon this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about building the church upon the Apostle Peter. No, he was speaking about building the church upon the rock of Revelation, upon himself. Because the Lord's church is built by him. He says, I will build my church. You see, he is the builder of his church. He is the head of his church, and he is the foundation of his church. Because he says, upon this rock I will build my church. It's built upon the rock of Revelation, and that being Christ Jesus. And he says that I am the contractor of the church. I'm the one that has designed the church. And he says, I will build my church. You see, it's his church. He said, my church. For I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here in this world some 2,000 years ago, as the scriptures reveal, he built his church. He established his church while he was here in this world. And we find that there was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ by the name of John the Baptist. Now, he is prophesied of in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. He's also prophesied of in the last chapter and the chapter before in the book of Malachi, that he would come before the messenger of the covenant. And he would be the messenger before the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was John the Baptist. He was the first Baptist that ever came into this world. He came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he came doing something that no one had ever done before, and that is baptizing those who came confessing their sins in the river of Jordan. He came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he came baptizing. Well, he had direct authority from God with the ordinance of baptism, and John baptized the people that were prepared for the Lord to make them ready for the coming kingdom. To make them ready for the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. John didn't come into this world in order to prepare people to live in heaven with God. No, that wasn't his mission. That wasn't his work. But he came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is, the people that God had already prepared, he was to make them ready by preaching unto them, to turn them away from the law service and turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is who he preached. He preached Jesus Christ, the coming King. He came baptizing God's people who confessed their sins He baptized them in the river of Jordan. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ took those people that were baptized of John, by John, and he organized and established his church here in this world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear unto the Apostle Peter that you know who I am, Peter, because my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it unto thee. And everyone that knew who Jesus was while he was upon this earth, they knew it because it was revealed unto them by the Father, which is in heaven. You see, they were already children of God. They were already born of God. But there was a revelation within their hearts whereby that they knew that this was the Son of the living God, the true Messiah. The Bible says in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, that he came into his own, that is, his own race, his own nation, the Jews. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So these who manifestly became followers and openly the sons of God, they were born of God before that they believed. It says that he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Who were those that believed on his name? But those that were born, not of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of Almighty God. So there was a revelation that was worked within the soul of these people that were born of God. Therefore, that's how that they knew that he was the true Messiah. It did not come by flesh. It did not come by the teaching of man. And it did not come by the will of man. It did not come by their will that they could know who he was. But it came by the will of God. God had quickened them, or they were born of his Spirit. Therefore, that's how that they could say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the 11th chapter of Matthew, this same book, he declares in the 11th chapter, in verse 25, he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son save the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very plain here that no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That is, reveal the Father or the Son. So he says here, it seemed good in thy sight. Well, it seemed good in the sight of God to hide it from the wise and prudent and to reveal it unto babes. These things are revealed unto babes. He qualifies who it's revealed unto. Unto babes. He's not talking about literal babes here, or literal babies. He's talking about spiritual babies. He's talking about spiritual babes, his people. And you see, a babe is one that has been newborn. So these had been newborn. They were babes. They were babes in their disposition. They were babes in their attitude. And therefore, they had a revelation. God disclosed unto them these things. He hid it from the wise and prudent. For so it seemed good in thy sight. in the Father's sight. It seemed good in the Father's sight to hide it from the wise and prudent and to reveal it unto babes. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. Well, who is he speaking to? He's not speaking to the wise and prudent. He's not giving a general invitation for men to come to him. He's giving a specific invitation to the babes, to those that are spiritual babies, to come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus is giving the invitation to people that are laboring and are heavy laden. So of necessity, if they are laboring over their sins and they see themselves as sinners, they have to have spiritual life. So therefore they must be babes in Jesus Christ, and he's saying, come unto me. Come to me experientially. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Here is an invitation of Jesus Christ to his born-again people to come to him and to get what? To get rest. He says, I'll give you rest. There is an experiential rest that the child of grace receives when he experientially comes to Jesus Christ and rest in the work of Christ, that he is the Savior, not depending upon his works or his goodness, but depending upon Jesus Christ and what he has done. He said, I'll give you rest. And then there is the commandment to those that have been given rest, take my yoke upon you, the yoke of service. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. God's people are to learn of Christ through and by the teaching of God's Word. Now, the teaching of God's Word has nothing to do with imparting spiritual life unto them or making them babes, but it teaches the babes whereby that they gain knowledge, that they can grow up and in understanding be men. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he tells them, in understanding, be men. But in malice, be ye children. But don't be children in understanding, but in understanding, be men. But in malice, be children. See, there is a sense in which we are to remain children in our attitude and our disposition before Almighty God, because we are dependent upon him. We need him. He's our strength. He's our power. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our head. He's the head of his church. And I want to talk for the remainder about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the church of Jesus Christ here in this world that the Lord Jesus established when he was upon this earth. And that church was made up of the people that John the Baptist baptized. Now, John was the Baptist. He was the Baptist. And everyone that he baptized were Baptist. So it was the Baptist that baptized, and they were Baptist. The Baptist Church of Jesus Christ has always believed and contended earnestly for believers being baptized in water. Not to take away their sins, literally, not to save them in heaven. Baptism has nothing to do with saving a child of God who believes, saving him for heaven. It has nothing to do with regenerating the soul. But it has something to do with the child of God, the one that has been born of God, that has been quickened by grace, who believes the gospel, who believes in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. And by the way, everyone that believes that he is the Christ, they believe that by revelation. It is not by flesh and blood teaching, but it is by revelation. And therefore, those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, and that he is their Savior, and that he died upon the cross, that he shed his blood and he washed your sins away on the cross with his own precious blood in his offering to God, that he put away your sins forever, you believing that in your heart, believing that he is your Savior, you have a command of Jesus Christ to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You have a commandment to be baptized in his name. Again, baptism does not wash away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God, a conscience that has been washed in the blood of Christ. Someone who is God-conscious, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are to be baptized in water, dipped or plunged or buried in water, and be raised to walk in the newness of life. The child of God has an obligation and a responsibility. He who believes that Jesus put his sins away upon the cross by his blood, and that he's been washed in his blood, who believes the gospel of grace. Now, a person must believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. He must believe that he is the successful Savior. He must believe that he did put away sins upon the cross. And he who believes that Jesus is the Savior of sinners and his personal Savior, then he is to be baptized in water. Baptism is indeed important for God's people. And in the history of the church, the identifying marks of the church, the true New Testament church, has always contended for the fundamental doctrine, the fundamentals of God's Word. The true church has always believed in the doctrine of unconditional election, the predestinating grace of God, that all of God's people are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The true church has always believed in particular redemption, that Jesus died for his people and he saved them upon the cross. They have always believed in the regenerating power of the Spirit to give life to sinners and make the application of the blood, or the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. They have always believed in the virgin conception and birth of Jesus Christ. We have always contended for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the heart of the gospel. We have always believed that those that are born of God are preserved in Jesus Christ and cannot lose eternal life or their relationship with God. We believe in the resurrection at the last day, and the second personal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The history of the church. There's always been the church of Jesus Christ in this world. The Baptist church has been called by many names. She has been called by the name of Waldenses, Paulinians, Albigenses. Many other names have been given to the church of the Lord Jesus, but she's always held to the same fundamental principles of salvation by grace and the practice of the New Testament. You have to go to the New Testament church to find the pattern of the true church. I want to give you a little history before I sign off. History of those who claim to be the church that are not the true church. And I want to give you some history of the disciples of Christ, or the Christian church, or the so-called Church of Christ. Their laborers were Thomas and Alexander Campbell, father and son, who immigrated from Northern Ireland to Pennsylvania about the year of 1800 or the early 1800s. They came to this country. They settled at a place called Brush Run in Washington County, Pennsylvania, father and son and their family. They were members of the Secession Presbyterian Church of Scotland. They were Presbyterians. They became dissatisfied with the Presbyterian doctrine, and so they pulled off from the Presbyterians and they organized themselves into a church in the year 1810. And they underwent a change in their minds concerning the mode of baptism. Now remember, they were Presbyterians, and they had believed in the validity of infant baptism and sprinkling as the mode. They became believers in immersion as the only mode, and in its administration to adult believers only. They thought it necessary to submit themselves to the ordinance anew, and with several other members, seven in all, their congregation were immersed on the 12th day of June, 1812. They were baptized on this date by Matthias Luce, a Baptist preacher. They sought out a Baptist preacher, a Baptist church to be baptized into, and the reason is there was no so-called Church of Christ at that time. And therefore, they became members of the Baptist church. Now, my question is to all so-called Church of Christ or Campbellites, is why did these people go to a Baptist minister for scriptural baptism? The obvious answer is that the Baptists were the only churches that immersed at the time. All others sprinkled. Why did not the Campbells go to the so-called Church of Christ? The obvious answer is that there were no so-called Church of Christ before this time. This is truly a hard nut for the so-called Church of Christ or Campbellites. And therefore, as they were members of the Baptist Church, they became dissatisfied. And the notion crept up that one must be baptized in water to wash away his sins literally. Indeed, it was another man who actually discovered the water salvation formula. His name was Walter Scott. And he had great influence upon Alexander Campbell in this regard. It was not until around 1823 that Campbell began to advocate this baptismal regeneration doctrine. It was not until 1827 that it was actually put into practice. On the 18th of November, 1827, Walter Scott baptized a person in order to take away his sins. This was a new thing. This is a new movement. Now, my next question is to the Campbellites. Was Alexander Campbell saved when he was baptized by Elder Luce, seeing he did not believe in baptismal regeneration? And be advised that the Campbellites, the so-called Church of Christ, were not baptized over again after that they began to preach baptismal regeneration. And in view of the claims by the Campbellites, particularly the claim of one who has to be in the Church of Christ to be saved for heaven, the actual history of this modern sect, the whole Campbellite movement, is obnoxious to the nth degree. That is, it is not true. Now, they would tell us that all Baptists are going to hell. And yet their very founders, Thomas and Alexander Campbell, were baptized by a Baptist preacher. So therefore, they are inconsistent in their teaching. The doctrine that they promulgate and that they teach is a doctrine of Pelagian. It is a Pelagian doctrine. The Pelagian doctrine declares that the fall of Adam hurt himself alone and not his posterity. That all men are born in a sinless condition and can keep the law of God, and thus the quickening of the Holy Spirit is unnecessary. Pelagianism is paganism. It is a mixture, or it is intertwined in the doctrine of Christianity, which it makes it false. The Church of Christ is a false church. It's not the true church. They're not even 200 years old, and therefore they cannot be the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said, "His church, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I am thankful to Jesus Christ, my Lord, to be able to advocate and to declare to you the wonderful truth. I shall not waver in my stand upon the truth of Jesus Christ, that salvation is of the Lord. There is His true church here in this world. The Primitive Baptists have the identifying marks of that true church. May the Lord bless you until next week at this same time.